You're listening to another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. My name's Adam Gobb. Today we're speaking with Pam Overcash, the first woman who was member of the executive leadership team here at Gaston County. It's the management team that's gone by a few different names under different county managers. She's been with Gaston County for more than 21 years. She's now part of Dr. Kim Eagle's leadership team as the community services manager. Pam, thanks so much for joining us today. Pam, you've worked in a variety of different roles here at the county, so kind of walk me through a little bit your history and then your current role now as part of the executive leadership team.
So I came to the county originally 21 years ago as the public information officer.
And a job I know nothing about.
Nothing, absolutely yeah. Nothing. Actually, if you looked at what you are doing today compared to what I was doing those many years ago, you wouldn't know anything about it. I mean, it has just been like just sitting here doing a podcast. I mean, podcast wasn't even a thing.
Right.
Back then. So the technology has changed. The social media has changed dramatically. The role of the PIO has expanded exponentially.
Yeah.
From the time that I was doing it, which was basically traditional print mm-hmm. and television news. So, there's been a lot of changes. So, which is kind of fun. I'm actually enjoying watching you in the new role and seeing what it can be.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about that. But so back to the story. So I started as the public information officer. I was not the first information officer. I was the second, but the first one had not worked at the county very long. So It was still a relatively new role for the county.
Sure.
And a lot of trying to figure out what is this role going to do and how can we utilize this position. My background, again, nothing you would know anything about, was mm-hmm. television news.
Yeah.
So, which is super helpful if you're running a government access channel.
Absolutely.
So that was my first role, and then I transitioned into the role of human resources director.
Which is not necessarily your typical transition.
No, that was not a typical transition, and it occurred very oddly. The position of human resources director had been vacant for 22 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was vacant for a long time. They had actually run two assessments, offered the job twice, and the people they offered the job to declined. There just sort of came a point where the assistant county manager, Phil Ponder, had been acting in the role of interim HR director, and after 22 months, that was getting a little bit too much.
Can't imagine why.
I can't either. So I kind of got tagged for a turn. Mm. At it. I was asked if I would do it, and I said yes. And I loved it. Mm. I loved it instantly. Of course, there was a huge learning curve for me, which was fine, but also made it fun. It was a tremendous challenge. There was a lot of work to be done in human resources, and I'm proud to say we've made a lot of progress in that department while I was the director. And, you know, most recently now, I am the community services manager in the county manager's office with several departments reporting directly to me, which, for full disclosure, this is coming in at the downside of my career, actually, in terms of, you know, when I plan to retire. But again, really excited for a new opportunity and for new things to learn. You know, it's been a great ride here.
I've been talking with several guests this month for Women's History Month and talking with folks, you know, in leadership roles in county government and education and in politics. And there seems to be kind of a common theme that while you're talking about, you know, women kind of shattering ceilings and stepping into roles where there haven't been women before, there's still a ways to go, that we're not there yet in terms of being seen as being normal.
No, we're not there yet, but we are certainly making progress. I think the fact that we have our first female county manager is progress. I am the first woman to operate in the county manager's office mm-hmm. in the role that I am in.
Right.
When I came to the county, I was the only woman on something that was called management team. It has morphed depending upon the county manager at the time in terms of how many people are on it and what it looks like. But I have been on it since I started at the county. Mm. And when I started at the county, I was the only woman in that management team meeting. And there were no people of color. Mm. So yes, I have seen tremendous change over the years. And no, we're not there yet. But Are we getting there? Yes, we're getting there. Is it fast enough for some people? Probably not, you know, but it is a, it is an effort of patience and perseverance and knowing that we are making strides. And I think it's important for someone like me, 21 years. So I think people forget that back in the day, I was the only woman in that group. But I think it's important for me to remember that no matter what I do, I am standing on the shoulders of somebody else. Mm. And I have to be strong because I know somebody behind me is going to stand on mine. So I think as women do make progress and move up within their organization, as I have, I also have to be mindful of the people that are going to come after me.
It's an interesting point that you make there, and in, we just had, obviously, the election of the first female vice president in the country's history, and you know, when that inauguration was happening, I was sitting there, I have a six-year-old daughter, and was sitting there with her and saying, you know, this is a really big deal. This has never happened in our country before. And she's trying to grasp why it's so important, but she's kind of looking at me like, I don't get it. You've always told me, like, girls can do anything that, that boys can do. And I'm sure there's lots of parents from your generation that told their kids that too, but it probably rang differently when you were six or when you were growing up as opposed to my daughter now.
Well, you get told that and you're not necessarily sure you believe it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's just part of the process. What's the new saying now? If you see it, you can be it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you grew up in an era where you didn't see it, you didn't know that you could be it. And all of these women who have broken those ceilings and have, you know, shattered those stereotypes of women can't be firefighters or police officers. I mean, yeah. all of these types of roles, you know, it's just so important for our next generation to see it and to believe it. Right. You know, I mean, you know, you go back to my mother's generation and she will tell you, oh, I wish maybe I had become a doctor.
Hmm.
That wasn't an option. Women were nurses, teachers, and secretaries when my mom was growing up.
Yeah.
She really didn't have the option. So, yeah, we have to keep on telling our daughters that, that you can be anything. And darn it, you might be the first. But it's okay.
Did you have anybody in your personal sphere or in your professional life that served as a mentor that really helped you? And then kind of the follow to that is, you know, have there been people that you've worked with since you've been here that you've helped kind of then pass along what you've learned?
So interestingly enough, I actually believe the men who were the county managers at Gaston County all in one way or another mentored me.
Hmm.
And to me, that's like the best. And I'm not to say I didn't have female mentors. I have, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of my career growth and my advancement, I had a lot of encouragement from the men who were serving as county manager here.
Mm.
And that was really, really important. So, you know, the message here is not just for women.
Yeah.
The message is for men, you know, to be open to that and to encourage that. I would say the women who I consider to be my mentors, especially in recent years, because I think sometimes people think when you reach a certain level, you don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, now you become somebody else's mentor and you don't have your own. And I think that's, no. I think I have mentors that don't even know they're my mentors, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But certainly people who have just encouraged me as a person, encouraged me in my own abilities and my own strength, my own faith, those people are just invaluable to me.
Yeah.
Because it's when you start questioning yourself or you start asking, am I good enough? Am I good enough to be the HR director? Am I good enough to be the community services manager?
Yeah.
You know, it's good to have people behind you going, yes, you are. You know, keep on going. You know what you're doing. You're strong. You can do this. You're a good leader. So, yeah, there are certainly people who have mentored me through the years. And there are people who I am mentoring now, some officially.
Right.
and some unofficially. I have had more than one young woman come to me recently and say, will you be my mentor?
That's got to be.
Oh, my gosh. You're just like, wait a minute. I'm still looking for another mentor. You know,
yeah.
It's they see something. They see something that they are interested in, that they want to know, how do you get there?
Yeah.
You know, how do you do this? I want to learn. And that is just super, super exciting to me. It's a great way to give back, and it's a great way organizationally for someone who's been at the organization so long to continue to prepare people, especially women, in the organization to continue to move up into the roles that they see themselves in, that they want to be in the future. And then I think there are some people who I just kind of mentor whether they want it or not. You know, there are people who I just, who I identified as, these are people who need to be nurtured and told, there is a path for you here. This is what I see for you, and to help them get there.
Well, I think even the most confident people always have this sense at times of imposter syndrome, where it's like those moments of self-doubt that I'm not good enough for this job. You know, there's other people that should be here instead of me. So I think having those relationships and having people that can kind of speak into your life and be able to give you that sense of affirmation that, no, you do belong here. You can do this. You can continue to put in the work and continue to grow, and it's okay to make mistakes.
And I think that's so important, and especially as a woman, because we don't always get that kind of affirmation. You know, a lot of what we're being bombarded with from the outside world, it's still very male-centric.
Sure.
So I think it's super important. Yeah, and I do, and you know, I sometimes wonder, does a man feel like this? You know, with all that self-doubt, because I think we see that in men, and we see the confidence, and we see that they don't dwell on the mistakes. They move on, right? Okay, that was bad. Look, I'm just moving on. And, you know, women have a tendency to just keep running over it and running over it and running over it. And how do you let that go? And how do you move forward without being callous, of course? So, yeah, so I think that's just part of human nature.
There's, you talked a little bit about how much, you know, Gaston County as an organization has grown over the past 2 years or so. I mean, adding the county's first female county manager, obviously. I talked last month with Pearl Burris Floyd, who's our diversity, equity, and inclusion officer. And just that position alone, having that at Gaston County, seemingly has moved us ahead light years from where we were.
It is so important to be intentional about that. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing even maybe to believe it within yourself that, oh, well, we're not discriminatory, or that there's equity in pay and there's equity in position. And it's easy to fool yourself, I think, when it comes to things like that.
Sure.
And just having a person who's going to hold our feet to the fire, really, and to look and see where those inequities exist and then help us figure out how we're going to get past that, I think is just so, so important. It's important for any organization, but I'm really excited for Gaston County to be having this because it's overdue.
Yeah.
It's just overdue.
Well, it's almost like, you know, we've added Kyle Sutherland as our internal auditor, but it's almost, this position is almost an internal auditor for our own compass, our own sense of our people and our workforce, and making sure that, you know, we don't have blind spots. And I think almost everybody does.
Well, of course we do. And of course you and I have special blind spots because we're white.
Yeah.
So having someone who can help us overcome, and hopefully the trust is there to be able to say, no, this is what it really is. Inclusivity is sharing power authentically.
Yeah, not just in a token sense.
Yeah, no lip service, but I mean authentically sharing power. it's hard sometimes to look at yourself and realize you're one of the barriers. Mm. I don't ever want to be that, right?
Yep.
But it's hard, and it's hard work. And Pearl is so smart and gracious in how she approaches the work. And I'm really excited for Gaston County.
And it's something that maybe you won't see an immediate transition into the community, but you know, with a population where you've got, you know, close to one of every five people in Gaston County is a black man or woman. You know, you've got almost 7% of the population that's Latinx. It's good to be able to recognize that you want your workforce to be reflective of the community around it. And I think also understand that for so many of the people that work here, I mean, they are still part of that community as well. And you can't really separate those two things.
No, and where we will be better as a result of whatever work we do for diversity and inclusion. And our community will be better for it as a result.
As part of the executive leadership team here at the county, I mean, you're often referred to as the historian because you've got the most tenure of anybody on the team with the county. And just wanted to kind of get your perspective. You know, what have been some of the biggest changes that you've seen in Gaston County since you first came on board to where we are today?
Our community is changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, for one thing. So our community has changed a lot. Internally, you know, when I said I was the first woman, I wasn't the first woman department director.
Yeah.
We had other department directors, but I was the first woman included in that management team. Mm. The next person to join that management team was another white woman, and it wasn't for several years until we had a person of color. Mm. And now we have several people of color within the department directors, and
right.
It's good to see that happening. I think the other change that I think we are about to see, which is phenomenal to me, is as a result of COVID. How we deliver services is going to change. It has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to continue to change and to continue to morph. And, you know, as a person who's been here that long, it is really exciting to see, because we always talk about government being the last to change.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know,
it's slow wheels of government, yeah.
Absolutely. But it's really exciting, the things, the innovation that we managed in such a short period of time as a response to COVID. It was really exciting to see that government can move that fast.
Yeah.
Respond that quickly. And I don't think we'll ever be the same again. So, I mean, when you act about what have you seen as change? Oh, I've seen changes over the years, but we're like in it, like right now,
yeah.
And it's not going to stop.
I think maybe some folks think, oh, well, they were closed for a while, and it's like, well, that's true in the sense of like there were buildings that were closed or like open for only appointments, but there's been so much work that's continued to be done. We just had to go about it.
Who came up with the brilliant idea to rent a bank to take tax payments?
Right.
Right? It wasn't mine. I'd love to take credit for that idea, right? I mean, what an awesome idea.
Yeah.
And it worked beautifully. That is not something anyone would have thought of absent COVID.
Because the need wouldn't have been there.
That's right. The need would not be there. So I think, and I think the millennials will thank us for this, I think government is really moving at a very... Gaston County, I don't know about anybody else, moving at a very fast pace to move in a different direction for service delivery that I think is important. I think it is more inclusive. I think it does provide more access. I'm really excited to see where it goes from here because I think it got everybody's wheels turning.
Yeah, it seems to be a game changer kind of across the spectrum. I mean, I know that there's been stories recently about how, you know, private businesses are taking a look at the Charlotte metro region and going, do we really need that big of a building? The same could be said for us from a county perspective. It's like, do we need to add more buildings or more office space every time we have to grow in terms of employees? And we'll have to continue to grow because the county's continuing to grow.
Yeah, we're headed for a period of accelerated residential growth. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say we're not growing from a economic development standpoint. I mean, I don't think anybody expected the response to the Apple Creek Industrial Park to be what it is.
Oh, yeah.
But just it's selling like hotcakes. So, I mean, all of that is exciting for the county. But, yeah, when you're growing, your population base is growing, then the need for your services is growing, whatever they are.
Yep.
And sitting through all of the budget meetings, I heard over and over again, we have to get away from the bricks and mortar.
Yep.
We have to figure out how we're going to provide delivery of services to the people and get away from that bricks and mortar. So, yeah, it's a brave new world out there.
Is it exciting, intimidating, all of the above when you're thinking, okay, in all likelihood, this is probably your last position before heading off into the wild blue yonder of the excitement of retirement? I tried to merge excitement and retirement into one word.
I like it. I'm going to use that, excitement.
Excitement.
I'm looking forward to my excitement.
Is that like exercise it. And retirement? I don't even know what that is. But obviously, I would think that this, kind of what we've gone through with COVID and what we were just talking about, has got to be energizing in a sense, looking at all the different opportunities that are on the table.
I really think it is. And I think it's exciting in my new role because I see myself in my new role as helping the departments making the connections with each other, because there's a lot of ways in which we should be collaborating that we haven't been in the past in order to provide the services. You know, we could be doing multiple things at one time.
Yeah.
And figuring that out as part of the piece of the, you know, as part of the puzzle and figuring out how to do that. And so, you know, from my position, I sort of have that higher level view and sort of have a better understanding of what other people are looking to do. And so I'm trying to make those connections between the departments. Yeah, I do think it's energizing. And, you know, working for Kim, who wants people to be innovative.
Yes.
Right? So that's super exciting because government, not always.
Right.
And it's exciting to be encouraged to do that and to think out of the box. I am not afraid of change, despite my age, which I will not reveal.
Nope. Would never ask.
I have always considered myself a change agent.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace change. That's not to say I always find it easy, especially if it's somebody else telling me what the change is, like, you know, changing your IT system. That was very, very painful.
Sure.
But I was excited about the possibility of what it was going to do for us once we got through the pain. I'm excited about it. I don't think I'm not afraid of it. I think everything I see that Dr. Eagle is trying to do with us as an organization, I think is moving in the right direction, and it's being progressive and conservative at the same time. And you know, how do you even say that? Is that, that an oxymoron? But it is. It's tempered and it's measured, but it's definitely moving toward a future where I think Gaston County is going to just continue to do an exceptional job of serving the residents of the county.
When I came into government, because I've only been here for about a year and had worked in media for all of my career before this in newspapers and in TV, one of the things that I think is often misunderstood about government is all the different things that go into it. But I wonder, from somebody that's now been a civil servant for over two decades, what do you think is the most common misperception about what county government does?
Everything.
I feel like you're cheating with that answer.
Okay.
that sounds like the Bible study answer where you just say Jesus, God, and the Bible. Yes. It's one of those three whenever the pastor asks you something.
I think people only understand government from the pathway where they utilize it.
Sure.
So I think for everybody, the misconception is different.
Mm-hmm.
So if I associate my government with my free public library, I'm probably a pretty happy camper.
Sure.
If I associate my government with running the jail where my son is currently living, I might have a completely different perception.
Sure.
So I think people perceive government as what they know and the parts of government that they interact with on a regular basis. So I think in general what people miss is the enormity of it, the vastness of the different services. And of course people don't pay attention to the geographic lines.
Oh, sure.
They don't know what the city does compared to what the county does.
Right.
Or sometimes even what the state does compared to what the county does or the federal government. You know.
Sure. And depending on where you're from, I mean, you move from state to state and that's all different. All those roles are different.
That is exactly right. So sometimes you have to ask the question, well, I don't know what the law is in your state.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's a state law. I think that is part of the problem, is not really understanding. But what concerns me most about what I think a lot of people think about county government and county employees in general is this national mantra that seems to indicate that, you know, government employees, what's the joke, you know, about the seven people standing watching the one guy digging the ditch, right? That we're all standing around supervising, watching the one guy doing the work. And I think what I want people to know is the passion and the dedication and the care and the concern that our employees have for the residents of Gaston County. It's just, it's heartwarming, it's unbelievable, and I see it every day in our employees. And I know that other people see it too. They see it maybe just in one individual, the one individual that they came into contact with that treated them with dignity and helped them and held their hand through a horrible red tape process or whatever it is. And I know that people see that, but I just wish people knew that there were almost 1,700 of us.
Yeah.
And that we care deeply about our county. We care deeply about our residents. And we take our public service very, very seriously. And I wish everybody knew that. I wish everybody knew all the employees the way I know them and appreciated how hard our jobs can be.
I think we've seen a little bit of that through COVID, because I think that there's had to be, out of necessity, more interaction between the public and local government and county government because of what's happened. Different shutdown orders from a state level and the different mandates, but then also, you know, the ability to connect people with resources in terms of testing and now with vaccinations. Sometimes people that just wouldn't normally ever interact with a county employee have maybe done so on a frequent basis over the last 12 months.
Well, so, you know, I think my parents are classic examples of that. They just moved here, what, 5-6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and because of their age, were getting their COVID vaccines. And at the farmer's market, mm-hmm. through the county, which I know a lot of people have been through, but more people haven't. People haven't seen that operation.
Sure.
You know, and my mother, for weeks, could not stop talking about what a great operation it was. Who were the people who did this? Who figured this out? Who put this together? Well, it's county employees.
Yeah.
Who not only figured it out, put it together, helped to make it run smooth, bring in the resources, the additional resources they needed, and they're also the ones who were putting the shot in your arm.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's a moment of great pride to hear people talking about us.
Yeah.
And what a great job, you know, we have done through this. So, yeah, I think when people do have the opportunity to interact, they find out.
Well, I think this has been a really tremendous conversation. I always enjoy getting to talk to you because you always bring so much knowledge, and your passion for public service has always been evident. So I definitely appreciate the time to talk to you, to share some of your stories and your experience here at the county with the listeners.
Well, thank you. It's been fun being here, and it's been a privilege. Thank you for inviting me.